I think every team realistically would be speaking about it. I've always said that unless I felt drunk with an All-Ireland, I wouldn't play because the sacrifices are just too high.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
7:30, it's Wednesday morning. You're very welcome along to OTB AM. It's Ger Gilroy and Shane Hannan this morning. Shane, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger. How are things?
Yeah, very good. Also with us is Nathan Murphy. Nathan, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. How's it going?
Yeah, very good. Slightly better morning for us than it is for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after what happened last night. Slightly better morning for us than it is for Jesse Lingard after what happened last night. If anybody missed this yesterday, the early kickoff, it was okay for Manchester United. They had a man sent off. It was 1-1. There was 94 minutes on the clock. And Jesse Lingard puts through the perfect through ball for one of the young boys, players to run on. Stick it past David De Gea, and all of a sudden, a scratchy draw that everybody gives out about becomes a horror show and a horror start, and all of a sudden the doubts begin to creep in about Manchester United and Solskjaer's record. You're a Man United fan, Shane. How are you feeling?
You know what? Feeling a little bit grim this morning, but I think it shows how quickly life can come at you, because Jesse Lingard came on at the weekend and scored a lovely goal. Massive moment for him personally after the torment he's had at United, never really reaching his potential. Goes off on loan to West Ham, excels, comes back, Ronaldo's back, the mood is good, he scores a goal against Newcastle at the weekend, and then he does that. And all his critics at United, amongst the United support, are like, look, we told you so, he's back doing what he does best. But no, I think like if the game had petered out into the draw that it looked like, we would have not really been talking about Solskjaer's tactics as brutal and perhaps negative as they were. A draw would have been a good result considering they played most of the match, a vast majority of the match with 10 men. But yeah, that goal changes everything, changes the headlines. Football is fickle, and now Solskjaer's head is back on a plate.
Yeah, football isn't that fickle though, Nathan. It's fairly straightforward in a way. If you're doing well, everybody thinks you're great. And if you're not, well, then there's a new manager ready to come along at some point in the not too distant future. And that's the game, right?
I get the sense Manchester United supporters are incredibly conflicted about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, as a lot of people are, because he's such a calm head in the madness of Manchester United over the last couple of years, and he is a club legend for all that he did as a player. But there's just a complete lack of trust and faith that he has the qualities as a manager to get the very best out of this group. And Paul Scholes said it on BT last night. For once, one of that BT panel of Manchester United legends said, he is the only one of those leading English managers that isn't at that elite level, because he hasn't won the trophies yet. And every time there's even a minor setback, the criticism rains in very quickly from United fans. I saw the result last night and I was leaving kids training, and I said it to a couple of the lads I was with, and both Man United fans, and both straight away, Solskjaer's not up to it. The criticism when they lose now, because the quality that's in that squad is going to come for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rather than the players. And listen, it follows on from last season in the Champions League and the way they absolutely blew it in the group stage, the defeat to Leipzig and Zach Zaheer, and criticisms of the way he set up. I think he's always going to have to rotate players in the Champions League. They've such a big squad that he's going to have to give players opportunities. But we're only a few weeks into the season. You have a bit of momentum going. Stick with it. Go at what you had at the weekend. Get a bit of a run. Get that first win and ease the pressure on you. But yeah, the substitutions seems to be a constant problem for Solskjaer. Doesn't seem to be able to impact the game, and taking off Ronaldo and Fernandes together, whatever life or there was in the Manchester United performance up to that, just went completely in the last 18 minutes. I do have sympathy for Lingard. Was it the pitch? Was that a big factor in it? Was it that he didn't see the player? It did seem as though maybe as his foot hit the turf, the ball spun in a sort of funny direction.
Oh, wow. Gymnastics to excuse Jay Lings. Is that, you know, everybody wants Lingard to play for Manchester United who isn't a Man United fan. Shane, this point about the built-in love of Solskjaer and the extra time that he's getting versus other managers at this point, the record in the Champions League is really bad. It's 7 defeats in 11 games. What has to happen for that to disappear? At what point do the Manchester United fans go, look, the point about everybody else having won the Champions League, it's a good point?
I don't understand the United fans, though, that jump on a bandwagon after one defeat last night. Yeah, the record of the Champions League hasn't been good, but
it's not one defeat, though. It's not one defeat. It's the same movie that we've seen.
Yeah, and look, his record in the Champions League is worse than Van Gaal or Mourinho at the club. But having said that, the squad this season, there's more optimism about the squad this season than there has been in recent years. I think you judge them if they don't qualify from the group stages, if they go out at this group game. And look, I'm going to be over at Old Trafford for the next couple of home games against Villarreal and Atalanta. They're both must-win games now. You can't put out a weakened team when you need results. And he said it himself last night, you need 3 home wins and 1 away win to qualify. You need those 12 points to get through. So put last night behind us. I didn't like to see Solskjaer come out after the match and kind of, he blamed the referee's inexperience. He said he was a young referee in terms of that Ronaldo potential penalty incident. He blamed the pitch as well. He mentioned the fact that, you know, the players probably aren't used to playing on that surface. These are professional footballers. You know, I play five-a-side Astro with my mates every Tuesday night, and like, we get used to playing on Astro. These boys are fine playing on AstroTurf.
They're
fine. They're 100%. Of course, it's easier on the legs for them to play on the turf. But I blame more that I think Solskjaer needs to certainly have a look at his decision making when you're 1-1 away to the Young Boys in the Champions League and you take off Bruno Fernandes and Cristiano Ronaldo and apparently play for the draw. It doesn't end up well. And you've lads like Donny van de Beek on the pitch, who's really, I mean, and Donny was a great footballer for Ajax, but he's been chronic at United since he's joined. And I don't know what the answer is. When do you pull the plug on someone like Donny van de Beek? Solskjaer needs to make tough decisions. And look, I think he's capable of those tough decisions. He's a nice guy. He's a United legend, as you said. But he's someone, I think, who's got a good backroom team around him. And the likes of Fletcher and Carrick and Kieran McKenna and Mike Phelan.
Does he? Like, we don't know that he does. We sort of assume that he does. Yes, they all come across as great characters and good lads. We don't know if they're the very best in the world at what they do, which is what Manchester United should have. And you use the word optimism there around Manchester United. It shouldn't be optimism when you look at that squad. It should be expectation. Manchester United should be looking at that squad and thinking, that is a squad with Manchester City not signing a striker that should probably be winning the Premier League this season and should certainly be contending for the Champions League. And the only reason there isn't that expectation is because of the manager. Like, when you look at that, the players, and you can say they didn't sign a defensive midfielder, but the money that has been invested, the players that have come through the youth system, there's very few positions in that squad where Manchester United wouldn't look to make massive improvements, with the exception of the middle of midfield.
Yeah.
But even then, they did spend 50 million on Fred. They did make an investment in that role. They just got it wrong.
That didn't work. So, and in fairness, Fred is a sunk cost at this point. Just trying to continue to turn him into a world-class midfielder, it's unlikely to happen.
He's probably the best player last night, though. Like, he has good games. I'm not saying he's world-class or deserves his place in the team, but he's been one of the bright sparks at some points this season. He's certainly not the answer, but yeah, for 50 million.
Well, when
you have too much, can you have too many choices? I was just going to say, Jerry, because he's in a position at the moment where Marcus Rashford isn't there. Very soon, he's going to have to leave out one of Ronaldo, Greenwood, Fernandes, Rashford, or Pogba for every game. In all likelihood, one of those guys is probably going to have to be rested, or Sancho. So, if not two of those players. So, every time you leave one of them out and things don't go well, they're going to look at the selection, that he got it wrong. He rotated the wrong players at the wrong time. But there's options off the bench, there's strength and depth, and there's actually having 6 players for 4 spots, all of whom are absolutely world-class.
Are we not allowed to have bad results? Are clubs not allowed to have bad
results? They are, of course. It's just that it's the same old story. That's the problem here, isn't it? That it's not that this is a one-off. It's that it's 7-11, 8-11, whatever that figure that I just said 2 minutes ago was. Mm. It's like that the lessons don't seem to have been learned from the European games. Now, it's early. It's the start of the group stages. Chelsea required Lukaku to win 1-0 against Zenit at home last night. And maybe that's the difference. They had a gap in their squad. They signed somebody to fix that gap, and therefore they go on. I did, and the comparison is going to keep being made with Lampard and the difference between Tuchel's Chelsea versus Lampard's Chelsea and what it might look like if you had an adult in the room at Manchester United who had won the Champions League or who was of that, you know, because obviously Tuchel hadn't by the time he got there and has now. The difference was, I think, at Chelsea that they had a glut of central midfielders who can control a game and who can do what you need to do to play whatever way you want to play. At Manchester United, they don't have any of those players, really, who can control a game and who you can decide, today we're going to play this style and this is what's going to happen. What they have is a lot of centre-backs now, and if they decide to play 5 at the back or 4 at the back, it's like, this is how we're going to inflict ourselves on the opposition. And that's not quite really how it works, is it?
But Solskjaer has brought back like I've used that word already, optimism and positivity around Manchester United. And that is something that under Van Gaal, under Moyes, under Mourinho, there was absolutely none of. Like, fans all of a sudden are going back to matches eagerly, looking for tickets. You can't get the United tickets at the moment.
Okay, but that's a very low base of expectation, considering that they've spent more money than any other club in world football over the last decade, right? It's pretty low base of expectation.
Yeah, but I mean, do you want to become a sacking club again? Right, let's say United decide...
Do you want to become a winning club again?
Yeah, of course. Of course they do. But give Solskjaer this season. Give him the group stage at least before people start putting the hammer down on him and saying, right, let's get rid of him. He's a man who's definitely changed the club, and he's changed the way they've played. He might have been relatively inexperienced as a manager. You wouldn't call Cardiff or Molde much experience, but he's probably proven that, look, with a bit of a philosophy, with a feel-good attitude around the club, with a couple of good signings and with a good backroom team, or a seemingly good backroom team, you can start to do things. Yes, 100% he needs to start winning trophies. And if he doesn't win a big trophy this season, I don't think he'll be at the club next year. But with that squad, you would imagine he will win a trophy, whether it's the Premier League or the Champions League or the FA Cup, which you would take. You'd be very surprised with that United squad if they don't win any sort of trophies between now and the end of the season. He deserves at least that.
Yeah, well, it's in the field of outcome that they might not win something this year. It's definitely possible. Can you just explain to me what that philosophy actually is?
Well, it's a possession-based game. If we had someone in the two holding defensive midfielders role that was an excellent player, and that's probably...
Okay, hang on. So your answer is, if we get somebody better to play in the team, we'll have a philosophy. The answer started.
Yeah, of course. But his philosophy is something that's changed. Like, watching United play now is completely the antithesis of watching United under Mourinho.
That's a false opposition. The Mourinho thing was just a stupid idea. Like, that was the club's hierarchy not paying any attention to world football and going, this guy has got a great record. He's going to do some excellent stuff for us. But Mourinho isn't... You're not playing Mourinho's Man United. You're playing Klopp's Liverpool, Tuchel's Chelsea and Wagner's Young Boys. That's who you're playing. It's other opposition. It's not the ghost of the post-Ferguson era, and it's not Alex Ferguson's Man United either that you're playing. What you're playing is world football right now. So what you need is a philosophy to beat those, not be slightly better than you were.
But you have to judge. Is there a possession-based philosophy, Shane? Because I think the one problem with Manchester United is that you don't know what you're going to get every single week, and that even within games, United are terrible at times. They'll have these 20, 30-minute spells where nothing happens. But because of the investment they made, because of the world-class talent, they're always going to win the vast majority of games. Even the 3-4 Premier League matches this season, there have been spells in those games where nothing has happened, where they haven't been able to hold on to possession. But because they have the genius of a Ronaldo or a Greenwood or a Pogba, they'll beat those lesser teams. But you don't turn up to Old Trafford, I think, and maybe this changes quickly this season, but at the moment you can't turn up to Old Trafford and expect that Manchester United are going to play a certain way the way you can with Liverpool or Manchester City or Chelsea.
You have to look at areas in the pitch, right? So Luke Shaw was an absolute shadow of a footballer and a person probably under Jose Mourinho. Solskjaer has taken him under his wing, and look at the player he is now. Wan-Bissaka has come into his own. Rush of blood to the head last night.
Yeah, both
positive. We have central defensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, but these are decisions that Solskjaer has made. So we addressed the central defensive thing. Lindelof probably wasn't strong enough. He goes and signs Raphael Varane, one of the best centre-backs in the world. Bruno Fernandes comes from absolute anonymity, to be honest with you, at Sporting Lisbon, signs for United, and what a signing that was by Solskjaer.
Bruno Fernandes was one of the best midfielders in Europe.
Yeah, of course, but he was, in Premier League terms, not a lot of people would have thought that he could become as good as he has become. He's a player that was probably, United probably signed him for less money than he was worth, clearly, after the way he's been playing. And players like that, players like Mason Greenwood, who's come of age under Solskjaer.
What about Jadon Sancho? What are we thinking about the massive outlay that they've waited a year and a half, 2 years to get Jadon Sancho into the team? How's he getting on?
Well, this is the pressure of Manchester United, isn't it? I think Jadon Sancho is going to go on and become a great Manchester United player, but it's much like Donny van de Beek and Jesse Lingard. They both probably may have the skill levels to play for Manchester United, but to play for a club of that size, you need the mentality as well. You can't have games like last night where you get a chance and don't make any impact, or Jesse Lingard makes such a horrific mistake. That's the difference between the very top level and just been slightly off it and been able to excel at West Ham and been a brilliant Premier League player, but not been able to do it all the time for Manchester United. But you'd have to assume what Jadon Sancho has done in the Bundesliga, that he's a step above both of them.
Yeah, he's a safe enough signing, I think, Sancho. Like, so far, definitely, he hasn't really had any game where he's really stood up and shown what he's capable of, as he did at Dortmund last season and the season before. But he's definitely someone that will come of age. I think Donny van de Beek is a more worrying situation, that he was someone who he's really had enough time. You know, he's had a full season. Granted, he didn't maybe get as many minutes on the pitch as he probably wanted, or some people would say deserved. But he's been disappointing.
But then he starts the game last night. The last night's team selection was fairly baffling, and I guess that's why people are going so hard at Solskjaer this morning. Shane, we didn't bring you on here to beat you up. Apologies. You're not personally responsible for what's going on. But it's interesting that you're still quite. You're on board and you're defensive and you're fighting the good fight for United at the point where you still think this is an experiment worth persisting with. You're still all in on Solskjaer.
I just, like, my dad always tells me a story about 19, I think it was 88 or 89. He went to a Manchester United match away to Crystal Palace, but I think the game was being held at the Charlton Athletic Stadium at the Valley. And he remembers being on the train, and all of the United fans, or the majority of United fans on the train, were calling for Alex Ferguson's head, that the signings weren't working out, the results weren't going their way. And Dad was one of the minority who were probably thinking, right, just give him a chance. We've had years of Ron Atkinson and Sexton and McGuinness and management that just didn't work out. They're the equivalent of the Van Hals and the Mourinhos and the Moyes now. So I'm not saying Solskjaer is going to become Alex Ferguson.
Well,
but what managers deserve time is my point. And look, if Solskjaer doesn't work out, if it's a failed management at the end of the day and he doesn't win a trophy this season, fine, good luck. And we'll bring in someone better. But he deserves that time, I think.
Can I just point out, though, it's really good that you draw that track record of the club of giving managers time. In Ferguson, you had a manager who had won a European trophy at essentially a third tier club. As we've seen, what Aberdeen have done since he's gone has been the proof that club should never have been capable of winning a European trophy, really. It was his peculiar genius. And okay, there was some sensational players at the club at the time, and maybe it's a confluence of things, but he'd won a European trophy with Aberdeen. That's the credit in the bank, and also the weak chairman, that made the chairman not sack him. I'm sure the chairman went into some meetings with Ferguson, and Ferguson was bullying him, get out, I'm fixing this. And he fixed it through sheer force of will and also some good players. But I don't know if we've got that with Solskjaer. Anyway, some quick comments. Go on, if you have one quick point.
No, go on, Jared. I was going to say about the reaction. You're right, Jared, Shane, about, you know, one defeat, overreacting. But like, that's what happens when you're a Manchester United manager. Even at Liverpool tonight with what Klopp has done, if they were to draw with AC Milan, there'll be an inquest into the strength and depth in the squad. And we should point out, it's not just those of us on this side who overreact. Look at Manchester United internally overreacting. Paul Pogba, having spent the last 6 months to a year shuffling around trying to get himself a move, after one half-decent performance against Newcastle, has suddenly decided, this is enough to convince me to stay. Everyone is overreacting right now.
Yeah, but Pogba's been excellent. He's had a great start of the season. If Solskjaer has anything to do with holding on to him, that's another positive. That's another tick under Solskjaer's box. But yeah,
is it?
Look.
They should have got rid of him in the summer. It cashed in at the best possible time. Okay, so Wolves battered United only a couple of games ago without getting the result. United ain't winning no league under Ollie, says Kieran. Shifty Lad says, I'm not conflicted at all. Unfortunately, Ollie just isn't strong enough. Ryan says, everyone needs to chill. Anyone can get beat in the Champions League, especially with 10 men. It was a game of individual moments that cost the game. It's a loss. You pick up and move on. Which is fair enough. It is totally fair enough. It's just that, as I said, we've seen the movie before, particularly in European football. Philip says, the dog in the street knows they made a huge mistake not signing a central defensive midfielder. McTominay is a squad player at Man United, in my book. In Ollie's, he's a starter. It's possible McTominay goes on to have an absolutely brilliant career and is the player that they need in there. It's just that you can't. His injury profile at the moment has been that he misses some games every season. Okay, so big reaction to the conversation that we've been having so far, but we're going to continue it now because Manchester United beaten in Switzerland by Young Boys, and it was essentially the game switches on the red card. But what does it suggest about a deeper malaise? Is there a deeper malaise? Is this all just the start of a campaign? Let's get Daniel Harris's thoughts on this now. Daniel, good morning to you.
Hello.
Whose fault is it? What happened? Is it Jesse Lingard's fault? Is it Solskjaer's fault? Is it the Glazers' fault?
When all this stuff happens, there's always plenty of blame to go around. You don't have to be sparing, but it is worth retaining some perspective. So, I mean, the players played badly, and Solskjaer didn't help them by making bad changes. So I'd say it's those two things. Obviously, you can pinpoint two very specific errors, as you mentioned, Lingard one, and also Wan-Bissaka getting sent off like that. But United were playing young boys, and there's no excuse for the poverty of the performance. I mean, they didn't play great with 11 men, but with 10 men, it shouldn't be against any team that you're left just defending the box. And United definitely had enough quality on the pitch and on the bench to not basically try and spend 45 minutes just defending. So felt like the substitutions didn't help very much at all, and reminded me a little bit of a game against Bayern Munich in 2010 when Raphael got sent off just before half-time. United were winning then as well. And Fergie, I can't remember who was playing up front that night, but Fergie took off whoever it was and it left them with no out ball. And it felt like that last night, that the problem with United, I felt, was when Sancho went off, because he was the first change. I didn't think that was a particularly great change, because what Sancho gives you is he gives you composure on the ball. He's someone who can go and hold the ball. And also, once you removed him, then you're thinking, well, who is going to defend the area in front of Diogo Dalot, who's a right back? Who's going to help with defend that area of the pitch? Because United then had, in front of the back four, they had Fred, Bruno Fernandes, Pogba, and Ronaldo. Now, none of them are going to do that. And it felt like when the red card happened, they had to take off one of his big dogs, and he didn't. I felt like it had to be Bruno or Pogba, probably, perhaps, or Ronaldo, and they all stayed on. And then that sort of left him chasing substitutions thereafter. And looking at United's bench, I mean, Anthony Martial is sort of the last person you really want in a crisis. But When you feel you're going to be under the cosh, you need someone who can hold the ball and who can hold it up, and who is your out ball. And of all the players in the squad, like, that's probably him. And he didn't come on till the very end. So there is that. But there's also the fact that the players should be able to do better than that, and that would be on them. I mean, it seems unlikely to me that Ole said to them at halftime, there's no plan, just go out and play. And it also seems unlikely that he said there is a plan and it's just defend the box and you'll see this out. Just like, it's very hard to believe that that's what happened. So you could say that he didn't communicate instructions effectively or that he gave the wrong instructions, but it definitely didn't seem like the players followed what he was likely to have said to them. And from there, you can look at it, I guess, in one of two ways. You can say, we've seen this before, which we have. We've seen absolutely terrible performances from United. I mean, obviously, Bissaka here is the one that most springs to mind. But you could also say we've seen it before, and we've seen much better United teams than this lose Champions League games to sides that are as crap as Young Boys. And there's a very long list. Basel, PSV Eindhoven, I mean, Maccabi Haifa, loads of teams over the years that have beaten good United teams, particularly away from home. So on the one hand, you could think, well, it's pointless getting too excited about that. But on the other hand, you might think the same old errors were being made, poor in-game substitutions and not enough ability to hang on to the ball. Because, I mean, the most obvious recent comparator is what Chelsea were able to do when they went down to 10 men at Anfield. And they did a really good job of seeing out. I mean, they did concede, but of not looking flustered for 45 minutes every time the other team had the ball. So, I mean, there it is.
Yeah, I think the comparisons with Chelsea are going to haunt Solskjaer until he wins a significant trophy. And the difference between the squad that, I made this point a little bit earlier, but the difference between the squad that Tuchel inherited and the Manchester United squad is that the squad that Tuchel has is festooned with brilliant midfielders who like to get on the ball and can control games, either as defenders or as attackers. You know, there's even their best young forwards are kind of deep-lying forwards who like to be involved in the midfield scenario. Manchester United are shorn of those central midfielders, and so therefore, when it comes to Solskjaer trying to shape the team, he's trying to shape it with wing-backs and centre-backs and do it that way, or with his forward play. And there's a chronic shortage in the key area in the pitch that Man United have at the moment that it's very difficult for anybody to overcome.
I think that's a little bit generous to Chelsea. I don't think I've seen Chelsea control that many games against good teams. I mean, which ones are we talking about here? I think that what Thomas Tuchel did, and he is obviously a really good coach, but I think people do get too excited about the coaching rather than looking at what he did. And he put three centre-backs, and then in front of them, he put two holding midfield players, and then either side of them, he put wing-backs who are defenders.
The two holding midfielders, though, are excellent. That's the difference, is that you...
Yeah, right. That I'm aware that Chelsea have better holding midfield players than United, but then that's the facility of type of player. It's not a facility of organisation and control. It's that Kante is better than Fred. Okay, I mean, I feel that we're all aware of that. And so then it's fine for us to talk about it in that context, but then to make it just like an issue of control and coaching is not necessarily the case. I mean, I'm not saying that Tuchel isn't a good coach, and the way that Chelsea move the ball, you could argue, is perhaps looks like they've been given better instructions in United, perhaps. But it's also a massive facility of the players that there are. United have risk-taking midfield players. They have Pogba and they have Bruno, players who try things, give the ball away. Like, they're not a team that tend to move the ball. Now, really, they should be, because these are technical players. These are brilliant players. And they should, as well as being able to look for killer passes often and pull off killer passes more often than most, they should be able to just pop the ball around as well. And why they're not able to do that, I don't know. I mean, I bet that every morning they begin their training session with rondos, where they're literally practicing the kind of skills and the kind of movements and the kind of cohesion that should have stood them in good stead last night. But for some reason, they weren't able to pull that off in a match situation. And I think that that is something that they definitely need to work on. And I don't know if it's an issue of coaching or an issue of instruction or an issue of adaptability of the players. I mean, I remember Wayne Rooney was on a Monday Night Football a couple of years ago, and he said that when Fergie's teams went down to 10 men, Fergie didn't really do anything. He just left the players on the pitch to reorganise. I don't know if that's something that Solskjaer saw and thought, well, that's fine. And maybe he doesn't have players who have a good enough system in the first place, or maybe he doesn't have just good enough players who are able to do that. But you do see these games. I mean, if we look at the season now, we've seen United play, what, five times this season. They play really well against Leeds, but they haven't played that well otherwise. They were crap against Wolves. They weren't great against Newcastle either. And again, Newcastle was another one of those games at the weekend. You could look at it and you could say, well, look, hang on a sec. They haven't played well and they still scored four times. Or you could say, well, they haven't played that well. Why haven't they played that well? They should be playing better than that. And it feels like they're still settling. Sancho's still settling, because what happened with him, I think, was that he basically had the summer off because he didn't play for England very much. But then he still then got time off subsequent to that. So he hasn't really had pre-season, and he also isn't really match fit. Then you've also got Shaw and Maguire, who played a lot of football in the summer and have come back, and both good in the first game, played with real authority, and it looked like they'd brought back their Euro 2020 confidence, where it felt like they'd sort of established themselves as two of the best players in the world in their position. But they're looking a little bit ragged now, and they're probably what they might need is a rest, but, and that sounds ridiculous after they've just had one, but maybe they need more of a rest, or they just need some time to get up to speed. And you could just say, well, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing players settling down again and a team settling into a slightly new way of playing. And as I said at the beginning, or you can say, well, we've seen this before and it keeps recurring. And the thing is after the Başakşehir game last season, United didn't play terribly very often after that. It wasn't, I don't think you can say it was a watermark, because we still had the disaster in Leipzig, as Solskjaer likes to say. And we still had another very bad other performance, a very, very bad one against Leicester and one or two other bad ones, but they didn't play that badly after that. The thing is it does sometimes seem with Ole like the answer is always just get better players. And that isn't the only answer. They do need a better method. They do need more composure. And they felt like that they defended with quite decent composure yesterday. But the bit that comes after that was miserable, and not for the first time. So you do worry when you see these things happening over and over again. But when they do tend to happen, things do tend to improve afterwards as well. So it's always that balance.
Daniel, you've mentioned Alex Ferguson there a moment ago, and like it strikes me that a manager with clear leadership, like he has, sometimes when a game goes wrong or decisions go wrong, they take the blame and they stand up in the post-match interview and kind of say, yeah, you know what, we screwed up there, and hold the hands up. Like, granted, the Aaron Wan-Bissaka red card, of course, that's a viable excuse for last night's result, but when you see Solskjaer coming out after in the post-match interview and kind of suggesting the referee's inexperience perhaps cost United a penalty when Ronaldo was pulled down, he suggested the pitch maybe wasn't up to what United players are used to. Like, would you like to see maybe Solskjaer come out after these terrible results and kind of just say, you know what, I screwed up there. I shouldn't have taken off Ronaldo and Bruno when we were chasing a win or a result.
I think the first thing to say is that I'm sure he knows what went wrong. I wonder if he's exactly certain what to do to stop that from happening. But he did. I don't think it's fair to say that, because, number one, Fergie would talk any old nonsense when things went wrong to misdirect attention from mistakes the players had made, mistakes he had made. So I don't think that's fair. And he did say we didn't play well enough with 11 men, never mind 10. It's not that he didn't say that. He did. And there's also a point of, it's early in the season, he wants to protect his players, and there were two very obvious mistakes that they made, Wan-Bissaka and Lingard, that you don't really want to go to town on them because those players will know they screwed up. Do you not think it's fair that he mentioned the ref not giving a penalty? I always say this, and I believe it, that you never lose a game because of the ref. But someone shoved Ronaldo in the back when he was one-on-one with the goalkeeper. That's a penalty and a red card. And the more times I watched it slow down, the more times you can see the defender did a brilliant job of getting really, really close to Ronaldo. So he obscured the fact that his arm was across his own chest, shoving him. But I've absolutely no idea how VAR missed that. Again, that's not why United lost. United lost because they made two horrendous individual errors and they played very poorly. But I would not expect a manager to mention it. He didn't make a massive fuss about it, but Do you think it was penalty?
No, like, I think Solskjaer probably made a good point afterwards in that he said that maybe the referee felt like if he was going to give the penalty, he had to give the sending off as well. And perhaps his youth and inexperience, as Solskjaer put it, led to him not making that decision.
Imagine what Fergie would have said in that circumstance. I don't think Fergie would have been quite as placid, actually. I think he would have been absolutely steaming if United had been denied a penalty of that ilk. Again, it's not why United lost, but someone got shoved in the back when they were one-on-one with the goalkeeper to basically finish the game and the ref didn't give it. I would definitely expect the manager of that team to say something. I mean, I expected Bruno Lage to say something about the goal that United got when United beat Wolves. And that was seemed like a much tighter decision than this one. So I wouldn't look too carefully at what Solskjaer said, because he's reacting immediately after a defeat. He's doing what he thinks is the best thing for his players. The question for me would always be, well, what are you going to do about it? And do I think that he knows why things went the way they did and all the stuff that he might not have said? And where's it going to go from here? I'd be more thinking about that.
Okay. Do you think he knows why it went wrong? Because the team selection and the changes mid-game speak to a little bit of confusion on his part.
Yeah. I think the first change was a panic. I think he just made the wrong decision in taking Sancho off. Totally understand why he brought Varane on. Like, you've got one of the best defenders in the world on the bench. You're expecting to have to do a lot of defending. But it felt like he was always kind of chasing because he made that wrong first change. So he probably will be able to assess what he got wrong. I don't think that he thinks, well, it was just the players. The question is more, do I think that he knows how to deploy this team to control midfield? Or does he even have the players to control midfield? And that, I don't know. Like, there's not an overwhelming amount of evidence to suggest that he does, but there's enough. As in, I can think of games against good opposition that United have bossed. United, like this stage last season, United went to Paris and they were better than PSG. It wasn't just like a rearguard action with a few counters. They went and they were the better team. So they are capable of doing it. They're not capable of doing it often enough, I would say. And these kinds of things happen often enough. So when you look at coaching and management, there are lots of different aspects to them. And Ole is better at some than others. And the question is whether he's improving enough in the ones he's not good at, which is the kind of movement of the ball, the controlling of games. And what the player that I wanted him to sign this summer was the player that might have helped do that, a number six who would help control the games with composure to take the ball and to build the play. And United didn't buy that, so they're trying to find a different way. And with Bruno, Ronaldo and Pogba in your team, that gives you a lot of game-breaking players, but it doesn't necessarily give you the kind of players that are able to take the heat out of the situation, or at least the way that they're being deployed doesn't do that. And Bruno and Pogba should be able to keep moving the ball, give and go. And for some reason, they don't seem able to do that. And I don't know if it's the instructions that they're getting, or I don't know if it's them, because there's no reason to think that they don't have the football brain or the soft feet that makes them able to do that. And I don't know what the answer is. There are a lot of people out there that are absolutely certain that they know the answer. They don't. So, yeah, sometimes it's all right to say that you don't know.
Is Van de Beek in any way part of the solution here?
Oh, man, he must have been absolutely spewing last night. I don't know. Again, I haven't seen enough of him. Do I think that you could play him? Because where does Van de Beek go? If you assume, right, that Bruno and Pogba are going to play all the big games, so then is it possible that you could have a three in midfield, those two and Van de Beek? Now, the only way you could is if you start to play a more Guardiola possession-heavy style. United don't really do that. They're mainly trying to get the ball forward. Those three players, in theory, should be aware enough and technical enough to move the ball between them better than most opposing midfield trios. They're never going to play together as a three, I wouldn't imagine. So then Van de Beek, what you're looking at him is mainly as an alternative to one of them. I mean, I know that he started with all those three yesterday because Pogba wasn't playing in midfield, he was playing on the left of the attack. But in general, I don't think we're going to see that too often, because if you do that, you've got Pogba, Ronaldo, and then you're only picking one of Sancho, Rashford and Greenwood, which just seems a waste and unlikely. I think that it may be, and I hate to say it, but it may be that the midfield has to be Fred, McTominay, although he wasn't available last night, Fred, McTominay and Bruno. Maybe that is the only way you're able to control midfield with the squad that United have, which is a problem. I don't know. So Van de Beek, to me, seems like a rotation player. Is he going to be good enough to be a rotation player? And he did all right last night. We didn't really see that much of him, and then he went off. But I would never have judged him on what I saw last night, because why would I? I mean, you need to judge people, you need to give people more opportunity. So I don't know, but I thought he did all right last night in the time that he was on. Probably wouldn't. Would I have taken him off? Probably not. Probably would have taken off Pogba, but there we are.
Daniel, how do you see that defensive shape building? I know Lindelof probably was glad to get the game time last night. Like, he's recently been made Swedish captain, and yet when Rafael Varane is signed, you don't really see where his game time is going to come from. Then all of a sudden he gets the match last night. And then at one point you have the three of them on the pitch. You have Varane, Maguire and Lindelof. And you forget that you have the likes of Eric Bailly and a certain Phil Jones languishing in the background there at Old Trafford. But how do you see the three of those main central defenders getting enough game time? Lindelof especially, like, surely minutes on the pitch is going to be an issue.
He's a third choice. He's a rotation player. I don't know. I mean, my guess is that they didn't want to risk Varane, who has had injury trouble previously sometimes, on an artificial pitch. And Ole thought that Lindelof was good enough to get the job done, which he should have been. I don't think there's anything particular to read into that. Sometimes you don't just have two centre-backs, and your first two centre-backs will usually play most of the games, but they won't play all of the games. So I think that, yeah, Lindelof is a very good third-choice centre-back. He's not good enough second-choice centre-back. And because the things at which he needs to improve are being strong and being fast, and it's not going to happen, he's never going to get very much better than he is now. If I was him, I'd be hammering down Ole's door saying, let me have a try as a number six, because he has played there when he was younger and he can pass the ball. I don't think that it was a massive thing to leave out Varane last night. I think that it was probably just a sensible fitness decision, and it was a decision that shouldn't have come back to bite United. And I totally understand why they went to three at the back when they did, because they wanted to get Varane on the pitch and they thought they'd be defending a rear guard. The problem wasn't the fact that they played three at the back last night. The problem was the way they passed and moved when they tried to get up the pitch. And you can do that with three centre-backs, and you can do that with the quality of players United have on the pitch. They just didn't.
Last one from me. If Fred, McTominay and Bruno is the midfield that works, where does Pogba fit? Does he then become a forward and that's it? You just decide.
Sometimes there are games. I mean, you saw it at the weekend. There are games where you don't need Fred and McTominay. And ultimately, the first thing I would like to do is I'd like to see a midfield with McTominay and Fred and Bruno in it. Because the reason people were talking about Newcastle being able to run through United's midfield last weekend, partly that was because United were attacking in numbers. You can't attack in numbers and occasionally not be shorthanded when the opposition counter. That will happen. You can't have it both ways. If you look, for example, at Luke Shaw's average position against Newcastle, he basically played on the left wing. So that will sometimes happen. But also, Matic was the guy in front of the back four, and he actually did all right on the ball against Newcastle, but the person who plays there needs to be able to cover the width of the pitch. If your two other midfield players, Bruno and Pogba, you need a physical beast there. Like City had it with Fernandinho. McTominay is also that player. He's strong, he's fast, he's able to cover the width of the pitch and get about it. And I'd like to see the Bruno-Pogba midfield with McTominay first, and to see if that can work. I think that McTominay's short passing needs to get better, and he needs to trust his long passing a bit more. But that would be the midfield that I would try first. In the big games, if you want to get control, then they either need to get much better at popping the ball off and moving it. And I was hoping that Sancho would help with that, because he's someone who'll come into midfield. He's not just a winger who'll stay wide. He's not like Mason Greenwood, who's constantly looking to attack the box. He's someone who'll want to get involved in the play. So I'd like to see that set up before I decided that it had to be McTominay and Fred. But yeah, there is a chance that McTominay and Fred are both necessary to have any midfield control against the better teams.
How much of a leash does Solskjaer have? If he doesn't qualify from this Champions League group, is that a terminal blow to his career at Manchester United?
No, I don't think so. It depends what they're doing in the league at the time. I mean, they're top of the league at the moment. Doesn't mean that much at this stage of the season. They haven't played anyone good yet. But if United go out this Champions League group in December and they're top of the league, then it will be bad behaviour, but they'll be top of the league. You always look at the context, and it does feel a bit weird that we have to have this conversation after every draw even. I mean, people were talking about this after United drew with Southampton, and I understand why. I'm not, because the things you saw in that Southampton game, the things you've seen before that you don't still want to be seeing, but you have to look at things in the round and think that United are also quite a good team now, by far the best team since Fergie, and they are still improving and they are still top of the league. So you need to look at things. There are basically people who decided that Ole was crap 2 years ago and are eager to ascribe everything that goes wrong to that crapness rather than looking at things in a more nuanced, sensible manner. So people more desperate to be proved right than they are to actually be right or to look at things fairly and sensibly. And you can look at things and you can see some progress, and you can some other areas where you think that there should be progress and there isn't as much progress as you want there to be. And that would be a more honest way of assessing what's going on. And is the manager going to get fired after every defeat is just a bit odd, because you don't say it after every win or when good decisions are made. And other managers who make bad decisions aren't kind of examined always necessarily in the same way. But at the same time, now they see he's responsible for the way that they play, and he was a big part of why they were rubbish last night. So it's fair to say that. But it's not fair to say, well, he should be fired because of this, without looking at things more sensibly and looking at things in context and saying they're still top of the league, they're still trying to sell some players, there's still players trying to get back after the Euros. They should be better than that, but now is not the time to be making those kinds of proclamations. But in the back of your mind, or not even the back of your mind, in the front of your mind, what we saw last night shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't happen again, but it shouldn't happen last night either, and it wasn't good enough.
All right, Daniel, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a million. Cheers.
See you, everyone. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.
Daniel Harris giving us his thoughts on the situation at Manchester United. Loads of comments rolling in. We'll get to those in a couple of minutes. 0879 180 180. You can WhatsApp us on that, or of course you can leave a comment in the YouTube stream or tweet us at OffTheBallAM is the Twitter handle.
I think every team realistically would be speaking about it. I've always said that unless I felt drunk about all Ireland, I wouldn't play, because the sacrifices are just too high.
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.